Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report. We knew it was coming, but it's historic nonetheless. State regulators handed down sweeping water cuts yesterday. Cities will have to cut their water use by up to 36%, depending on how good or bad they've been at saving water. KQED science editor Craig Miller brings us the details.
Urban water suppliers have until June 1st, just 3 weeks from now, to have programs in place aimed at cutting water use an average of 25%, as Governor Brown put it recently.
Maybe you might think of this as just another installment on a long enterprise to live with the changing climate and with a drought of uncertain duration.
And last night, the State Water Resources Control Board voted through a final plan to put the governor's mandate in motion. Many cities have gotten a head start, and some, like San Francisco and Santa Barbara, are already ahead of the conservation quotas assigned to them by the state. But others are still worried about the impact on their local communities.
Going down to one-day-a-week watering, we will be seeing brown lawns, we'll be seeing lots of vegetation dying.
Jennifer Hansen heads public services for the city of Lincoln, northeast of Sacramento. She says even cutting outside watering to one day a week might not be enough to meet her local mandate.
Trying to go down to 0 days a week watering to meet our 36% on average throughout the year may even require more stringent measures for outdoor water use.
Hansen had a lot of company. Members of the water board heard pleas for exemptions from industries ranging from food processors to pool and spa contractors. Officials will put together a working group to help resolve lingering issues with cities and businesses, but getting to the governor's goal will have to mean sacrifices. Water Board Chair Felicia Marcus.
We know we're not asking people to do things that are easy. I do get all the fears and the concerns, but I do think this is a moment to rise to an occasion.
The latest figures from state regulators show conservation still lagging far behind even the voluntary 20% goal that Governor Brown set a year ago. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
Ever wonder how laws really get made in California? Let's find out. It's time to reveal one of the Capitol's best-kept secrets. Sponsored bills. Yes, if you're a
That's a new exclusive online video we created as part of our coverage on how influence works in California government. It's a series we're calling California Political Muscle. You can find that video on californiareport.org, and KQED California Politics and Government editor John Myers has been reporting on those sponsored bills, and he's here to talk about some of the data that KQED crunched. Hey, John.
Good morning.
So before we get into the weeds here, remind us of what a sponsored bill is.
Yeah, this is really about what role an interest group and lobbyists play in creating laws. You know, California has a system, and really not all states have it, where legislation that begins with an outside group is called a sponsored bill. But what we have found over the course of the past few weeks of reporting is that no one is required to ever say that a bill is sponsored. And even when they do say it, well, what does it mean? In some cases, interest groups and their lobbyists write these sponsored bills, Queena, almost word for word, and the legislator introduces it. But again, no one ever has to tell the public anything about where these bills come from.
So how have these sponsored bills in the legislative session fared compared to the ones that are actually written by lawmakers?
Yeah, well, we did a deep dive into the really reams of data from the bills introduced at the state capitol in 2013 and 2014. That was the last full session of the legislature. Now, the overall passage rate for any bill in that period was about 43%. But for sponsored bills, the passage rate was 67%. And keep in mind, Queen, that the bills that were revealed as sponsored, I think, are probably only part of those that are actually crafted by influential groups. So I think the success rate of bills written and pushed by the outside world could be much higher.
What do you attribute the success to? And is it because the bills are better written, or does having a sponsored bill make the bills more attractive to legislators because of the special interests behind them?
I think a little bit of both. You know, I think interest groups bring a lot of resources to bear when they have a sponsored bill. Some of them even pay for polling, I've been told, to see what kind of legislative language will be more appealing. They've got lobbyists. They have lawyers to vet language. Some sponsors are smaller groups, to be fair, with fewer resources. But I think sponsored bills are really the potential laws in the state capitol where, as we would say, political muscle is flexed more often.
Is there one party or a lawmaker that's moving more of these sponsored bills?
Definitely not one party. It's a bipartisan process. But we went through all the bills to see which legislators had carried the most. Several had carried at least 10 sponsored bills. The top two, though, were Assemblyman Don Wagner, who's a Republican from Irvine, and Assemblyman Ed Chow, a Democrat from Arcadia. Wagner was tops. He had 16 sponsored bills in the two-year legislative session. And he tells me, look, I don't have all the great ideas. People come to me. I work with them. We draft the language, but people come to me and they have ideas and we try to help them. And I think that's an important point. Sponsored bills aren't by definition a bad thing. It's just not transparent who brings those ideas forward.
Is there any talk in the State House about shedding more light on these bills in the future, maybe disclosing this to the public?
So far, no. None that we've heard of, though Assemblymember Wagner tells me he strongly supports some more transparency if someone can come up with a good plan. You know, I've been working on this Project Queen for a few months now and talking to lobbyists and staffers and legislators, and it seems to me that most people in Sacramento argue that it is less important who writes the bill than what's in it. And I think that may be true, but, you know, knowing who stands to benefit from a law can say a lot about whether it's a good law or not. And you don't know that when you don't know who wrote it and where it came from.
That was John Myers of KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. You can find a video explainer of sponsored bills at californiareport.org. And finally, getting back to the subject of saving water. We've been asking you for proposition ideas on Facebook, and listener Karen Smith-Catlin had a good one. She wants a law that turns water conservation into a game. She says each month, everyone who meets the water-saving targets for their city should be entered into a pool to win the fine levied against the largest water abuser of the month. If you have ideas on how to fix California, head to facebook.com/thecaliforniareport. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, May 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queenie Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Barracuda Networks, innovators of network security and data protection solutions designed to thwart cyber threats and data loss for businesses of all sizes. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.